Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in today. Welcome to It's Time for More Injury Funding, the podcast for all who want to learn about legal funding and its significance in the personal injury, immigration, wrongful death, medical malpractice, and many other types of law practice domains. I'm your host, Laura, founder and CEO of More Injury Funding, the legal funding counselors with passion for law, medicine, legal funding, and heart for all suffering individuals. More Injury Funding is a sponsor, member, associate, or business partner of this podcast, Academy of Truck Accident Attorneys, Sandy Springs Bar Association, Georgia Association of Paralegals, Atlanta Legal Aid Society, State Bar of Georgia, and Georgia Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. In today's episode, I have a very special guest, attorney Ardenas Damjani, who goes by Ardy. Is that right?
That's correct. Yes.
And Ardy is founder and managing attorney of Damjani Law Office, PLLC, in the states of New York and New Jersey. Today, we'll dive deep into the discussion of an immigrant's journey to becoming a practicing attorney in the USA. Welcome to It's Time for More Injury Funding Podcast, Ardy.
Thank you so much for having me, Laura. I'm a fan of the show. I've been looking forward to this conversation, so it's a real pleasure.
Absolutely. Well, let's start our discussion with your journey from Albania, Southern Europe, to the U.S. What year did your journey start, and what was the primary reason for moving all the way across the Atlantic Ocean?
So my family and I immigrated to the U.S. in 2002, primarily for economic and educational opportunities. You know, to be honest, my parents and our family had a good life in Albania in the early 1990s and mid 1990s. My parents owned their own restaurant cafe business, and business was good in the early 90s, mid 90s. But in 1997, Albania experienced the civil war due to the failure of various pyramid schemes. And so times were tough, economically speaking, in the late 90s and early 2000s. And that's when my mother decided to enter the green card or diversity visa lottery program, which she wanted in 2002, enabling us to come to the States. The green card lottery program is targeted towards countries that have low immigration rates to the United States. Albania is one of them. There's others in Asia, in Africa, in Eastern Europe. And so that's how we came to this country, and we were very lucky to win that lottery.
That's wonderful. Congratulations. So good to have you here.
Thank you.
Can you talk about some of your unique challenges that you, as an immigrant, faced when pursuing a career in law in New York and New Jersey? And maybe you still are?
So I was 11 years old when I came to this country in 2002. I learned English in sixth grade. I attended public schools in Queens, elementary school, law school. In fact, when I was in seventh grade, I was part of the law debate team at IS 125, and I actually won the most valuable player award for the law team when I was just 13 years old. Now, mind you, I had just learned English when I was 11 years old in 2002. So that was a big indicator that I was going to follow a path towards becoming a lawyer. The biggest challenge for me to becoming a lawyer was supporting myself and putting myself through college and law school. Both Fordham and Rutgers Law School are not very cheap, so they're expensive schools. And I've had to work throughout my time here to support myself financially. And I've been working since I was 15 years old. I worked at Sunnyside Public Library was my first job. Then it was Barnes & Noble. In college, I worked at an Italian restaurant in Times Square. After college, I took a year off. I worked as a paralegal at a big law firm, Cravath, Swain & Moore. So I was doing well. For a 22-year-old kid to be making six figures was a big deal. And that enabled me to pay for college, to put myself through law school. And in law school, I also was fortunate to have great internships and summer associate positions at Prudential Financial, the big insurance company, at Bressler, Amory & Ross, which is a big national law firm in New Jersey. And so I created a path for myself. There were other programs, affirmative action programs like HEOP and MSP, HEOP Higher Education Opportunity Program at Fordham and Minority Student Program at Rutgers, which were also a tremendous help. I competed and I won fellowships in lobbying and government. And so that's how I made up the funding for both college and law school. Another big challenge, of course, and many lawyers can relate to this, was taking the bar exam. It was extremely stressful, but I'm happy to say that I was able to pass it on the first try. I worked at various firms in New Jersey and New York until 2022, when I started Domjoni Law Office PLLC, where I focused mostly on personal injury and specifically construction accidents, car accidents, motor vehicle accidents, as well as premises accidents like slip and fall and trip and fall.
That's amazing. What a beautiful story. And I am just like yourself, an immigrant from Northern Europe, Lithuania. And I have too many of my immigrant life stories in 23 years. And I'm sure you do too. Would you share a few of the most memorable personal stories of you as a documented alien who has successfully navigated the process of becoming a lawyer in the United States?
So I'll share two stories. The first story is a positive one, and the second story is not as positive, but I think it's a good lesson for all immigrants. So the first story is, it was the summer after my first year of law school. I was selected for an internship at Prudential Financial, and while I was interning and working there, the company also had a volunteer program to do pro bono legal work for free in the community. And I volunteered to do that program. And the way it worked is that they had an attorney at the company and an intern go together to do pro bono work at the municipal courthouse in Newark, New Jersey. And so when I volunteered for it, the attorney who had volunteered for it that day as well was the general counsel, Susan Blount. And so I got to go with Susan to the Newark Municipal courthouse, and we did volunteer work and pro bono work, primarily with people who were in debt and needed debt relief. And we filed some motions, and I got to spend a whole day with Susan Blount. And actually, when I came back from that trip, the attorneys, my supervisors, mentioned that I was the only person at the company who had spent a whole day with the general counsel, who oversaw over 700 attorneys. And it was a great learning experience. Susan Blount is well versed in the banking world and the insurance world, and I'm a big fan of Elizabeth Warren. I've read her autobiographies, and we exchanged stories about that. And so it was very enjoyable, a great experience, and a great way to network with people who can help you out. And eventually, that did pay off, because I was able to interview with outside counsel with law firms that Prudential hired, which led to my first full-time job out of law school. The second story is, I was a young associate at a law firm, and it was in the beginning when I started there. And one of the main partners at the firm, approached me, and we started talking, and he said, "You have an accent, where are you from?" So, I could answer that two ways. If I wanted to be politically correct, I could say, I'm from Queens. It's where I grew up. It's my home." But because he mentioned I had an accent, I said I was born in Albania. And the next question from him was, "Have you seen the Taken movies with Liam Neeson?" I like those movies. They're great movies, but they do portray Albanians as human traffickers who abduct Liam Neeson's daughter. And so I was a little bit taken aback by the first question from this high-powered partner. And so I fired back. I said, "Did you see Mother Teresa get canonized as a saint?" And he was somewhat confused. He's like, "What?" I said, "Well, she's Albanian as well." And so I share that story because, as an immigrant, and many immigrants have to do this, we have to fight against stereotypes and prejudice from time to time. But those are the two stories.
It's amazing. Well, I want to hear all of them, but that's for our next episode, okay, Arnie?
Absolutely.
What are the specific requirements and steps that an immigrant must take to become a licensed attorney in the states of New York and New Jersey?
So the requirements for me were the same as for non-immigrants, which was to take the LSAT, attend law school, pass the bar. I took the uniform bar exam in New Jersey, where I went to law school. And after practicing for a year in New Jersey, I waived my admission into New York, and I moved back home, and I've been practicing in both states now. But the
Wonderful.
requirements were the same as for a non-immigrant, for me.
There's no difference. Okay, good to know. How did, if at all, your immigration status impact your ability to practice law in the USA?
So the benefit of coming to come into this country on the green card lottery program or the diversity visa lottery program is that you obtain U.S. citizenship almost automatically within 5 years. And so I became a U.S. citizen when I was just 16 years old. So my immigration status was not a factor in my ability to practice law. But it is worth mentioning on this question that since 2016, and immigrants without legal status in this country can pass the bar and become members of the bar in New York and practice law in New York. So that wasn't an issue for me, but for people who out there who might question whether they can become attorneys in New York because they don't have legal status, an appellate court in New York ruled in 2016 that even though you don't have legal status, you have the right to enter the bar in New York State.
Very interesting fact. I didn't know that. Artie, is there any particular reason you chose the Northeast and specifically these two states, New York and New Jersey?
So I was raised in Queens, New York. Like I mentioned earlier, I attended grade school here, high school. I went to college at Fordham College at Lincoln Center in Manhattan. My community, the Albanian community, and beyond that is all here. My family and friends are all here. After college, like I said, I took a year off and then I decided to pursue law school, and I picked Rutgers Law School because it's a great law school. They're public service oriented, and it was the most affordable law school relative to other law schools. So I attended law school there, I passed the bar there, I practiced in New Jersey, I waived my admission in New York, and I moved back home. And I practice in both states, like I said. But for me, although I've always had this flirtation with Washington, D.C., because I love politics, I love government, and I'm a news junkie, I did get accepted into law schools in D.C., and I flirted with the idea of it. But this is where my community is. This is where I grew up. And I knew that I wanted to be a New York City attorney in the future. So that's why I decided to stay in the tri-state area.
Is there a particular reason why you chose to focus on personal injury? And you had also mentioned motor vehicle accidents and construction.
So from 2019 to 2022, when I started DomJourney Law Office PLLC, I worked in insurance defense litigation. So I represented insurance companies and their insureds in personal injury matters like construction accidents, premises accidents, motor vehicle accidents. And so having that defense experience and learning how to defend claims from the insurance perspective and to evaluate them gave me insight, valuable insight that can be used on behalf of plaintiffs and injured persons in prosecuting their claims. So again, just like the decision why I chose to practice law in New York and New Jersey, the decision to launch a solo practice focused on personal injury was a natural extension of my defense work on behalf of insurance companies. And now I get to represent people who unfortunately have been injured. And I get to use the experience that I've gained on behalf of insurance companies and their insureds to the benefit of plaintiffs and injured people.
That's wonderful. Do you know of any organizations or resources available to support immigrants in their journey to becoming attorneys in any state of the US?
So there are two programs that I would like to mention, which benefited me tremendously. The first program is HEOP, Higher Education Opportunity Program at Fordham University. And it's a program that provides mentoring, provides additional tutoring and classes, provides financial aid for students who have faced economic or social hardships in life. So it's not a it's an affirmative action program, but it's not targeted only based on ethnicity or race, because you know I'm if we considered that, I wouldn't qualify because I'm of European descent. But because I am somebody who faced economic and social hardships, I did qualify for that program, and I benefited from it. A similar program is the Minority Student Program at Rutgers Law School, and it's a post-admissions program, so you have to be admitted into the law school before you can apply for MSP and become a member of it. And with that program, they provided tutoring. They set you up with summer internships, which are extremely important for law students during their first and second summers of law school, because they set you up with employment opportunities upon graduation. So these two, I would highly recommend to people to check out HEOP and MSP. It just so happened that these programs were at Fordham and Rutgers, but I'm sure that there are similar programs out there in other universities and other law schools that people would benefit from.
Okay. Cultural language and customs could play a huge role when assimilating into a new foreign culture. What are some of the cultural and language barriers that you, as an immigrant, encountered while studying and practicing law in the states that you are licensed to practice?
So the language barrier is the first one that comes to mind. You know, my mother tongue is Albanian, and when I came here when I was 11 years old, I had to learn English, and I learned English. But in addition to that, mastering the English language was a challenge, and it's something that I think I've had some success, because reading quickly, analyzing documents, writing well are extremely important skills for attorneys to have. And so, you know, I've and the results speak for themselves. I've won motions on summary judgment. I've handled appeals to the New York and New Jersey appellate courts myself. So the biggest barrier was the English language, but I got over that barrier at a fairly young age. And mastering the English language and expanding your vocabulary and writing well were skills that I've had to work on, and I keep working on them.
That's fantastic. Now, tell me, are there any specific areas of law that immigrants are more likely to specialize in after becoming attorneys in these states? Do you see a particular trend?
So I would definitely say immigration is at the top, and this could be for the simple reason that these immigrants, having experienced immigration issues in their own lives or in their families or people they know, is that they're attracted toward immigration law. But in addition to that, I see a trend towards personal injury, real estate, and to a lesser extent, family law.
Interesting. Did you have to overcome some significant obstacles to establish a successful legal career in New York and New Jersey? What were those obstacles? You must be still facing some day to day since you started your own practice in, did you say 2022?
2022 is when I launched Umjorney Law Office PLLC, and I would have to say that the biggest obstacle in establishing a successful practice is competing for business with bigger law firms, with older attorneys who've been doing this for decades. As a student of politics, I would say that name recognition matters in law just as much as it matters in politics. And so, you know, I've worked for the offices of U.S. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand and New York Governor Andrew Cuomo when I was in college. I volunteered on political on campaigns for local elected leaders like Congresswoman Grace Meng, who's the vice chair of the Democratic National Committee. I've served as a legislative fellow in the New York State Assembly. So you have to be creative in reaching out to people, in putting your name out there, in creating relationships. And these are some of the things that I've done and I continue to do. Being an active factor in your community is extremely important for your practice and building a practice.
Could you share your view already on how the legal profession in these states, that is New York and New Jersey, can be more inclusive and supportive of immigrants pursuing a career in law?
So I would definitely have to say that supporting programs like minority student programs at Rutgers Law School serves that purpose of supporting immigrants and minorities and non-traditional law students. And the way that they can do that is by partnering up with MSP and similar programs to have mentors, seasoned attorneys be mentors for law students. Another way they can do it is by offering internships at their law firms or companies or institutions. And the last point I would say is recruiting immigrants and students who are members of these diversity programs at their companies, at their law firms, at their financial institutions, whatever they may be.
And if someone is in need for a personal injury, and you had mentioned you do some banking arbitrations and divorce cases in New York and New Jersey, how can those people locate Dom Johnny Law Office PLLC? Do you have a website? Do you have social media platforms you want to mention?
Absolutely. So I'll just clarify that the bread and butter of what I do at Dom Johnny Law Office PLLC is handling personal injury matters, specifically construction accidents, premises accidents, slip and fall, trip and fall, and motor vehicle accidents. I've also gotten cases from and other attorneys are a great resource to bring you business and to bring you new clients. And so through these relationships, I've gotten divorce cases. I would have to say uncontested divorces, as well as banking arbitration cases. So that's what I handle. With regards to reaching me, people can call me. I'm available 24/7 at 347-302-6146. My email is adlawnyng@gmail.com. And I'm on Instagram, on Facebook, on TikTok, on Twitter, on LinkedIn, under the username of RD Domjohnny.
Beautiful.
And that's ARDI, last name DOMGJONI.
And I'm just so curious because I'm Lithuanian, so of course I'm going to ask this. How do you pronounce your first and last name in Albanian correctly?
In Albanian, my full name would be Ardi Domjoni. So it
it
sounds
is.
very Italian when I say Domjoni.
Oh my God, sounds big, like a Don Juan always. Oh my goodness, I love it. Beautiful.
Well, that's the actual translation of Domjoni. Dom is for Don and Joni is Don Juan.
Wow, small
That's
world,
another
I'm
story.
Telling you. I love it. Okay, see, we have so many more episodes coming up. That was so great, Artie. Thank you so much again for finding time to talk with me about an immigrant's journey to becoming a practicing attorney in the USA and for being my special guest on this Time for More Injury Finding podcast. But before we conclude today's episode, I have one last question for you. You ready?
Sure.
Okay. What is a funny story your family tells about you that you would like to share with everybody?
So there are definitely a lot of stories of that kind, but the one that's most common that my parents and my siblings like to share with others is, and in keeping with the theme of today's podcast, an immigrant's journey to becoming a practicing attorney in the USA, when I came to this country with my parents and my siblings, I was just 11 years old in sixth grade. And so we came in July of 2002, before I had enrolled in school, before I learned English. But for some reason, my parents always depended on me for translation and interpretation, even though I was still learning the language. And so I remember as an 11-year-old kid going with my mom to grocery stores and to local shops, and she, for example, would want to buy something, and she wanted me to tell her what the word was for whatever she wanted to buy. So we went to a store, and she wanted to ask the clerk, do you have oil? Now, oil in Albanian is voi, but I hadn't learned the word oil back then, at that time. So I would just take the Albanian word voj and add ka at the end, and I would say vojka. And my mother would go to the clerk, "Do you have vojka?" And the clerk was dumbfounded. Or we had neighbors in the building where my parents lived, and they would come over, and my mom wanted to ask them, "Would you like some tea?" And she would ask me, "How do you say tea?" And in Albanian, tea is chai, so I would just say chajka. And so my mother would go to our neighbors, "Do you want chajka?" And they had no idea what it was, even though chai is a popular term for tea. So those are the two stories, and it just goes to show you how much immigrant parents rely on their kids, especially on their eldest kids, for a lot of things, but especially translating and interpreting for them at first when they first come to this country.
That is a truly funny story. I love it. My son always plays with me tricks. He tries to trick me, but I don't trust him anymore. When he was smaller, he could, because he has, my son is 16 and a half, almost 17. So he has his own lingo, which I don't get. I have to Google it every single time. And it changes. Let me tell you, that changes every
Yeah,
few months. So I can't keep up
absolutely.
anymore. Again, I love it so much. Dad was an attorney, Ardenas Damjani with Damjani Law Office PLLC. I want to thank you all for watching and listening to our story about an immigrant's journey to becoming a practicing attorney in the USA today. For more tips and tricks on legal funding and personal injury law related topics, follow me, like, and subscribe at More Injury Funding. And it's time for More Injury Funding podcast on YouTube, Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeart, and other podcast platforms worldwide. Worldwide, also on LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, Pinterest, YouTube, Google Business Profile, and my website at moreinjuryfunding.com. That's with two O's. I can't wait to see you and hear you all, my dear listeners and viewers, again soon at my next upcoming episode. Tune in soon for our next guest. Until then, be well. Thank you.
Thank you, Laura. It was a pleasure.